two queer women connect on a dating app, start a podcast, fall in love, and take off on a mind-blowing adventure. Where they end, no one knows. With a half-assed plan and a whole lot of love, what could go wrong? Especially when it feels so right. Welcome to No One Wants My Cookies, Season 2.
Hey, babe!
Hey, babe. And welcome, listeners, to No One Wants My Cookies. We're super stoked to be here. What's going on?
I don't know. We just have the biggest guest today.
Brooke's mom, Connie. Welcome.
Welcome!
Thank you.
We're buttering you up right at the beginning.
We're going to build you up and then take you down.
Oh, don't do that, please.
That's not really our style.
Did you listen to our last podcast?
Of course I did.
What were your feelings about how we made just a teeny weeny comment about how moms can be annoying?
Oh yeah. that was mild.
Pretty mild. You can handle it.
Yeah.
I can handle it.
I think mom is like pretty realistic when it comes to the fact like that moms have a reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Moms are moms.
Yeah. She's pretty cool mom in all, you know, in the grand scheme of things though.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. My mom, she gave me the feminine mystique when I was in like middle school. Do you know what that is?
No idea.
It's like the feminist Bible.
Oh nice. Yeah.
So she's to blame for me being so independent, babe.
Independent. That's hilarious.
Babe, I miss you.
Brooke, do you remember that the next book after the Feminine Mystique was The Second Stage?
I do. I actually think I still have that one too, but I don't really remember it. What was the second stage all about?
The second stage was like probably a decade later, and it was a little bit different perspective on the same issues, women's issues, but it was more about how women's issues affects everyone, regardless of your gender. So how the men in our society have been negatively affected by bias towards women or against women.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. It seemed, I mean, at the time I was so stoked. Like, I read them and, you know, it was a really powerful message for a young kid, especially like in the age we grew up in, you know, like we were born in the 80s. I was in high school in the late 90s. So were you.
Yeah. So your mom was a progressive mom.
Yeah.
I say
she still is. Totally.
Thanks.
I mean, it didn't come without its challenges, but I think the older I get, the more I respect my mom because of those things too.
One of my challenges was born in 1981.
Well, yeah. Funny. What was that like? What was I like as a baby?
Oh my gosh, Brooke, you were not happy. You were not happy to be born, and you were not happy until you learned to walk and talk. At that point, you had a little more control over your life, and then all of a sudden you were fine.
That's kind of a common thread too. I've always been like, I want to be independent. Like, I just want to be independent. And so, it was always hard for me to date too, because it was like hard to give up that control in a relationship, you know?
Yeah. I think it's so funny when she tells me stories about her previous relationships, like how she like didn't even spend the night at their houses. And, you know, she is like in all these relationships, what you say, Connie, like a couple hundred relationships. And she's like,
she was a freshman in college. I swear she introduced us to so many guys, and it was It was like a menagerie. They were, each one was so radically different from the next. It was like, what are you just, what kind of exploration is this, Brooke?
Did I like totally freak you out as a teenager?
Not really. I mean, you have freaked me out at certain times in your life, but the teen years were, I don't know. I kind of felt like I understood, but apparently I didn't understand as well as I thought I did.
So fast forward 20 years later and she settles down with a lady. What are your thoughts?
It's like, oh, I get it.
I mean, I always joke that my mom always wanted a gay kid. So when I came out, which wasn't that long ago, I basically positioned it as, congratulations, mom, you finally got your gay kid.
I'm wondering, I mean, I'm happy to have a gay kid, a straight kid, I don't care, both. But why do you say that you think I wanted a gay kid?
I think you always appreciated the part in Brett and I about how we were unique. And I think you really just wanted you wanted your kids to be like whoever they wanted to be. And you maybe suspected when I was younger that I liked the ladies. And so I always felt really comfortable with that concept too. Like I could always come out. Mom would be cool with it. That's kind of the, yeah.
Okay. Well, I never did suspect.
Really?
No, I really didn't until you started dropping hints intentionally. You were trying to get me, you know, used to the idea, I think.
Yeah, I did that a lot. Whenever I wanted to tell her something, I would be like, just drop little hints. Well, so that's actually not a big surprise.
Didn't you tell Sarah, knowing that Sarah would spill the beans?
I do that a lot.
Sarah is Brooke's best friend.
Yeah, my best friend Sarah, who lives in Iowa where my mom lives, and I consider her a sister, really. And she hangs out with mom. If I want to give mom news, I'll give it to Sarah first.
So she can like break it to her or spill the beans.
Not because I think mom's going to react poorly, but it just makes it a lot easier on me, you know?
That's Sarah. So funny though, that you didn't suspect anything, because Brooke has a clear memory, which she doesn't remember a lot, but she does remember you having a conversation with her about how it would be okay if she were to be gay. Cause we've talked about this several times, cause there's a lot, my dad's not here. And so I can't ask him a lot of questions, but doing this therapy, I realized, I'm like, my dad didn't care that I was gay. I always thought that was the reason why we didn't talk. And then I started remembering these things. And so Brooke kind of was remembering too. And she's like, I think my mom knew, because I do remember a few conversations with me and Brett, Brooke's brother, where you said, just so you know, it's okay to be gay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't really thinking that it was a reality, although I am just really fine with it.
No, totally.
Brooke, you always had a guy friend who was gay. And even in high school, I guess your friend, your gay guy friend was not out yet, I don't think.
Right.
But there was something, I don't know, you always got along better with the guys than you did the girls, because the girls were too frivolous, or maybe the guys were frivolous too, but somehow you related to the guys better. Yeah. But not on a romantic level. Mm-hmm. It was always on a pals kind of level.
Oh yes. And I would do all the stupid shit, crazy ideas they came up with. You want to go do donuts in your little red sports car? I'd be like, hell yeah, let's go. No. Yeah, it's true. I've always had really close guy friends my whole life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you've had several, I mean, wherever you lived, it's like you'd move, you'd have a best friend who was gay. And Cody
better watch out now that awesome. We live somewhere else. Cody's gonna get replaced by some God. Other
Cody travels. He travels well.
Yeah, he's already come and visited. Yeah,
we actually saw him a couple weeks ago. We had a nice visit.
Yeah, that's great. I'm glad they made it to San Diego.
Yeah, one of our first visitors was actually you.
You were our first visitor, I think.
Yeah,
I was your first overnight on the couch, but not really on the couch visitor.
Yeah. We got you the blow up mattress that now two moms have stayed on. So that's pretty exciting. But your trip was especially, I mean, it was the first person that came and visited us. It was only about a month after we moved to San Diego, which means how many months in on our relationship?
Oh, three. Four.
Yeah.
Four.
Yeah. And I don't think I fully realized until Tanya's mom came and visited for a week, who I think is wonderful, but like what that experience is actually like to spend that much time with the mom of the person that you love. Uh-huh. And we were so early in our relationship, we just like threw you into the deep end, Tanya. And mom, I was like, you two, you guys are gonna have a great time. What was that like for you, mom, to come stay in that environment?
Oh my gosh. The way I've described it to my friends is that it was just wonderful for me. It was a wonderful experience. I hadn't seen you for about 2 years or so. Mm-hmm. And it'd been like 2.5 years since I'd seen Brett because of COVID and because we had other international travel planned and mm-hmm. all kinds of factors. And during COVID, I realized what a big mistake I'd made not seeing you as recently as I could have. And so that's why I was like, as soon as your vaccinations were you were mm-hmm. fully vaccinated, I was like on a plane.
We were just a couple days out of that fully vaxxed status. No, I thought it was a great trip too. I have to admit, I find it rather annoying how obsessed you two are with Brett, but I'm getting used to it. And I was complaining to my friend Erica, I'm just like, you know, both her mom and her, like, the guy could do no wrong. And Erica was like, oh man, what is he like? And I'm like, yeah, he's fucking wonderful. Like I can't even like be that mad at him because he is the great guy. But when Brett got here, I was a little overwhelmed because both you and Brooke, he could be like, hey guys, I just went to the bathroom, and both of you guys, oh my God, good job, Brett.
Isn't he cute?
Yeah. Yes.
I've been obsessed with Brett since day one. Is right, Mom?
Well, and vice versa. You and Brett have, I credit myself though for your tight relationship. And also, Kate the Great, neighbor named Kate was 2 years younger than, and still is, 2 years younger than Brooke and 2 years older than Brett. So they're like, what, 4 or 5 years between you and Brett? Quite a bit.
4 years. Yep.
4 years. And so Brooke loved to have Kate come over, but if they didn't include Brett, it was just a headache for me, because then Brett needed too much attention and he, you know, he would feel left out and all that. So the rule was, if Kate comes over to play, you have to include Brett. If you don't include Brett, then Kate goes home. And it worked beautifully.
We were just three buds.
That's so cute. Yeah.
Kate was the proverbial middle child that I never had. But I used to keep her. We used to keep her at our house for days and nights on end until finally her mother would call and say, can I have my daughter back?
Well, no, she's entertaining my children right now.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
No, it is really how close they are. I mean, they really, and it's so true. It goes both ways. You know, Brooke will be like, oh, I went to the bathroom. And Brett's like, good job, sister. You know, I think at the end of the day, I'm just jealous. You know, my brother Josh and I used to be extremely close. And, you know, along with the pandemic and politics and stuff, things have been rocky. And so I think that at the end of the day, I'm jealous, but I was a little annoyed. I mean, I was like, man, that guy could like really do no wrong. I mean, no matter what he says is like pure gold.
Yeah. I think my favorite part of the trip was when Mom was showing a picture, and in the picture, I think it was probably Kate and Brett and me and, you know, one of those other kids. And you were like, which one's Brett? And my mom goes,
the cute one.
And I'm like, I'm in the fucking picture too.
So I'm sorry, Brooke. You were the one with the most beautiful eyes. Remember?
Oh God. Yes. Oh my gosh. Tell that story. That's so funny.
Oh well, I'm not sure.
The contest.
Yeah. So every place I took Brooke, you know, the woman at the checkout would say, oh my gosh, look at her eyelashes. And they'd make a big deal out of little Brooke's great big long daddy long leg eyelashes. And it irritated her. She really didn't like the attention. Yeah. So I was afraid she was going to cut off her eyelashes.
Oh no.
I mean, seriously. And so I saw a contest that the Society to Prevent Blindness was putting on a contest at the mall, and they were judging for the most beautiful eyes in Iowa. And I took Brooke and we registered, and then we had to come back for judging. And the night before the contest, Brooke had an overnight. It was a slumber party at some girl's house, and they stayed up all night and they went swimming. They went swimming in a bunch of chlorine. And so her eyes, she looked like shit. I mean, if Brooke can't, oh, did I say that? No, I mean, it was a relative thing. Brooke's eyes were not at their best. But she still was one of the finalists for most beautiful eyes in Iowa. And she was the youngest. I mean, there were teenage girls there that were really going all out, really, you know, bought into it. Brooke was like, oh, okay, I'll do this. And and then she wins all these fabulous prizes, like, you know, gift certificates at the mall and a garment bag that says most beautiful eyes in Iowa, finalist on it. So she used that garment bag was how she transported all of her dancing costumes whenever she had a recital.
I was so full of myself. I love it.
I never had to worry about her getting scissors out and going for the eyelashes again.
That's true. I did the first time I tried to use a razor, though, take off like most of my eyebrow.
Wow. Yeah, I remember that too.
I think mom taught me how to use eyebrow pencil. Oh my gosh.
I put a hot glue gun on my eyebrows because somebody at school said I had a unibrow.
Oh no.
So it was like hot wax, hot glue is what I was thinking. And so I put the hot glue on my unibrow and I burned myself and I went to school the next day. And my friends are like, oh my gosh, what happened to your eyebrows? And I'm like, my brother chased me around with the glue gun.
Oh, no.
Yeah, made that up. But Brooke is, I think that she does get a little trauma because when we first started dating, she's like, what's your favorite thing about me? And I'm like, your eyes. And she literally rolled them. And she's like, cool, never heard that before. Like, she was such a bitch about it.
She just is kind of bitchy sometimes.
Yeah. Drives me bananas. Oh my God.
That's one thing that I kind of worry about you two, because Brooke can be she can cut you off quick. And you impress me as a very kind, thoughtful kind of person. Like, you,
I have you so fooled.
Oh my God.
And Brooke is more like, put them in their place quickly.
Yeah, she's so,
spoiler alert, so is Tanya. Tanya is very, that is the best thing about our relationship, is we're very quick-witted, you know, and we have that, like, we make jokes all the time, but it's that same thing that for me and her, the second you piss us off, like, you know it, and we say the meanest shit.
Well, that's a little dramatic. Oh, the meanest?
God. Come on, it's pretty mean.
Okay.
It's not that mean. You're right.
The other day, Brooke's like, you're being a bitch. And she's like, I'm sorry. So, I mean, I think we could do better. Definitely.
Yeah. We go to therapy, right, Mom?
Together?
Yeah. We do couples therapy.
Well, hopefully, I impressed upon you that therapy is a good thing too.
You did. Yes. I have done therapy most of my life. I am a huge fan of therapy.
Me too.
Because I started when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're both big into the therapy, but we do it together. And we're like, we had a session yesterday and she's like, how's everything going? I'm like, oh, we're great. We're killing it. We're exercising. We're sober. We're eating good and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, she did call me a bitch yesterday. And the therapist is like, oh, we should probably talk about that. And I'm like, but
Russ, it really wasn't remember, do you remember the uppity blues women? I used to play their CD in the car all the time. I guess I didn't play it around you because it was kind of like off color, but the Sapphire, the uppity blues women, have a song about bitch. And yes, they say, yes, I am a bitch, a babe in total charge of herself.
That is a phrase I will never use myself, but very clever.
I actually think we listened to the Uppity Blues because when we were going on all our road trips, I think you sent us that, Mom, because you were either going on a road trip or something, but I'm pretty sure
I probably shared it with you as an adult, but Jane and Pam and Jane and all of us that were the runaway girls, we used that, those albums used to be our theme songs, and we would, you know, we would sing along in the car.
Yes, I love that. The Runaway Girls.
Yeah, what, I don't know about the Runaway Girls. What's that's you and your friends?
Yeah, neighborhood friends. There were a few of us that would go on little vacations together when we got a chance. And we called ourselves the Runaway Girls, and we were so naughty. We would, you know, do next to nothing wrong and still feel like we were wild and crazy.
I love that. Always looking for an adventure.
Yeah. We were getting away. We left the kids with their fathers and would take off for a weekend or whatever. And of course, Brooke's dad always took her to grandma and grandpa's when that happened. Which she loved.
Yeah,
I know. Brooke and Brett always loved that. So nobody complained. We all got what we wanted.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
That is so funny that you're just like, and by the way, Pam's kids probably stayed with their dad.
I don't know. I can't. Well, actually, I'm pretty sure they did because they didn't have grandparents close enough, you know, to, they weren't just a little road trip away. So
mm-hmm. I had a great time with my grandparents. I'd ride the tractor.
Oh, I had a great time with my grandparents too. Like, I never missed my parents when I was at grandma's. Like, see ya.
Oh my God.
I have a nice time. So what was I going to ask you?
I don't know. I was wondering, what do you want to know?
Well, my brain is spinning because when she's talking about these girls' trips, I'm having a memory of her telling me that she dropped somebody off at a big house, and it was, didn't you pick up a hitchhiker and they lived in a mansion or something?
Oh, Tanya, I have so many stories.
That reminded me, it was
yes, I did tell you a story about that, and but that was unrelated to the Runaway Girls.
Okay, unrelated.
That was before I was married and before I had kids. I was college age and I was just visiting a friend out of town and picked up hitchhikers on the way. Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. But, you know, back
at different time.
Yeah, it was a time. It was that time in history, you know, mm-hmm. We did that. We used to hitchhike or pick up hitchhikers.
Yeah.
It's crazy when you look back.
Yeah. You were like, God, that was a really unsafe situation. We listen to way too many crime podcasts now to do anything near that.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was really not safe at all. And yeah. I remember.
Go ahead.
Well, I don't want to get into that story. I'm going to let you.
Okay. Oh, that means it's real good.
It's a juicy one, folks.
Yeah.
I just have one story flows into another, you know, so it's hard to shut me out sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I have a feeling that you were pretty much a wild child as a teenager and a young adult, which is part of the reason I think you never wanted me to, I could never get away with anything. Because you were like, I've been there, done that. Nice try, yo.
Well, I did always look at things from the inside perspective of mm-hmm. if I were doing this, how would I approach it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. I did get in trouble one time when I was a teenager because my mom found what she thought was a rolling paper in my car. It was actually a gum wrapper. And to this day, I'll go to my grave. That was a gum wrapper, not a rolling paper. And I shouldn't have gotten grounded.
Yeah. That's messed up, Connie.
And you're wondering, how does she know what a rolling paper was? Yeah.
Well, my rolling papers were somewhere else.
Oh, my friend Charity in high school would always have CDs with bad language or cigarettes in her purse. I'm like, I was the good one. And I was like family at her house. And they would find this stuff from Charity and she'd be like, oh, it's Tanya's. And since I technically wasn't their kid, they just were like, well, they'd throw the cigarettes away. But they'd be like, Tanya, here's your CD with the bad language on it. And I'd be like, it's not mine.
like, get this away from my daughter.
That is charities.
Quit lying, Tanya. Quit lying.
Oh my gosh. Well, you've got the wealth of knowledge here at your disposal, babe. What do you want to know?
What should I do for Brooke's 40th birthday? It's 40.
Oh my gosh.
It's a huge birthday.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Tanya. The best thing you can do is just keep loving her. Because Brooke, you cannot top other trips that Brooke has taken over the years. I mean, she has treated herself to some really fabulous travel adventures. And so you can't top that, especially not during, this time in the COVID situation and international situation. It's just hard to do. And there's no reason to try to top it. So don't worry about that part. Just have quality time.
All right. You okay with that?
Yeah, that's cute.
Should I buy her presents?
Oh, presents. Brooke likes presents, I think. But again, I don't think throwing money at things works for Brooke. I think for Brooke, you have to put some, it has to have some personal meaning or something.
Yeah, she is pretty sappy.
I'm so sappy.
She's like, write me a letter.
There you go.
Maybe I'll write a poem.
Oh my God.
Sweet. Yeah. Hey, and I hear you've got a new job, Tanya.
It's
so exciting.
I got the call yesterday. I haven't signed anything yet, so I'm trying. We did go out and celebrate a little bit yesterday. We went to the brig, and then Mike Hess now has a coffee stand. You remember the taco joint outside the brewery?
No.
It's on the main drag. I think did we go there?
Didn't we go sit on at a picnic table out front of some place?
Yeah. Definitely. Wait, that could have been the other brewery. Well, anyway, there's a brewery downtown that also has a coffee stand now, which is nice because Starbucks is, I don't know, like 10 blocks away and always busy. And this coffee is actually really good too. So we got coffee and watched the sunset, which really wasn't that sunsetty because it was cloudy.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm talking a lot. but like, we didn't go too crazy because I haven't signed anything yet. They gave me the offer and I accepted it. So I'm just waiting to like actually sign the papers. And then shit's going down. We're going to party.
Probably by going to the brig and getting some coffee after.
Yeah.
Yay. Well, I think it's going to really be wonderful for you. It's going to be an adjustment.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a worthwhile investment of your time and energy. Mm-hmm. That's good. I'm glad you came up with something that was just exactly what you wanted.
Yeah, so I'll be helping people look for jobs. I'll be a recruiter. So I think that I definitely bring something to the table as far as like looking for the job I wanted for months.
Yeah.
And finally got it. So I'm excited. And I think that it will help my self-esteem too. Like, as much as I love, going to the beach every day and hanging out with the dogs, it's going to be nice. Being busy and making more money. So
yeah, it'll be good. It makes the, when you are investing a lot of time and energy in your employment, then it makes that time off seem even better.
Yeah, totally.
1,000,000%. Well, we really want to be as retired like you, because that sounds fabulous.
Well, and believe you me, I invested a lot of time and energy and career to get here.
Yep. Yeah, so, we got a few more years.
It's super wonderful. I am really good at this retirement thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't you tell our listeners what you do? What's your life like?
Oh, what do I do? Well, I've been pursuing lots of different interests. But I try to give myself permission to just cancel everything and do absolutely nothing when I feel like it.
That sounds a lot like our theory of we give ourselves permission to change our mind anytime.
Yeah. That's where you gotta because you're sailing, you're painting, you're
I'm doing Tai Chi.
And Qigong.
Qigong. Yeah. And I'm walking and hiking and doing outdoorsy things, and I'm teaching. I'm working just a little bit, but it's hardly working. It's so much fun. I have two students that I work with on Zoom, and it's just a couple hours, two times a week. And I'm teaching, they're both from Brazilian adults who are very intelligent and advanced students of English. So they challenge me they ask me questions about the English language that I have to look up the answers
for. I love wow. that.
That's awesome.
Oh my gosh, that's wild.
English is hard. So for those of you that don't know, Connie was a English as a second language teacher for many, many years.
For 16 years, I didn't really start doing that until I was 50.
50 years old
or 49. Yeah. And so it was really my second or third career and most recent. So a lot of people that know me don't know I ever did anything else.
Pop quiz, Tanya, do you know what mom did before teaching?
She was a mother of two beautiful children.
That was the best.
And then before that, she was a professional roller skater.
I wish.
She was part of a team, a roller skating dance team.
Oh, wow. No, that's not it. Here, I'll give you a hint. Her license plate was the letter D, the letter E, the letter C, the letter O, R.
Oh, she was an interior decorator. I knew that.
Our family actually had more than one personalized license plates. Our family was a big fan of those.
Did Brett have one?
Brett didn't have one, but I did. Brookie Cookie.
I forgot you had that license plate.
I still have it. It's still sitting and it's like displayed in our dining room.
It is.
Ah, cool.
Yeah.
Yep. Bee Cookie.
Cookie.
Oh, speaking of, I do have a cookie jar for you.
Oh, great.
And I don't know if you're familiar with this particular cookie jar, Brooke. I have a collection of cookie jars, Tanya. They're and I rotate them on my kitchen counter, but this particular one, I might have gotten it after you moved away. My sister Nancy gave it to me. She lived in LA in Malibu, California.
Mm-hmm.
And it came from there. And I think it belongs back
in Southern California.
In Southern California.
What is it?
Yeah, you'll find out.
Oh, it's a cliffhanger. I love a cliffhanger. Are you mailing it to us so we can do an unboxing experience?
It's going to be a birthday present, Brooke.
Oh, hey.
Surprise.
Surprise.
And it was your idea. Because last year, remember, I baked and baked and baked, and I sent you all that sweet stuff, and I gained 10 pounds while I was at it.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I'm not, you know, my doctor said, oh, my goodness, your blood pressure and your triglycerides and your cholesterol, you got to do something. Yeah.
Oh, so man.
Okay. I won't do that again this year, but I'm going to send you the cookie jar.
Oh my God. That doctor's an a-hole. Don't you think?
I know. Bummer.
Oh, that's funny. Well, I think we should wrap this up, y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it was great talking to you.
Yeah. I'm so glad you finally came on.
Oh, me too. Yeah. I was always willing. You know, you just had so many other irons in the fire going everywhere, moving here, moving there.
Yeah, now we're making a movie.
We were actually laughing the other day. We were like, it's because it's going to be, before you know it, a year that we've been together. And we were just laughing about how we can never sit still. And we're just like constantly into something.
Yeah, a year from yesterday, 1 month from yesterday will be a year since Brooke first messaged me.
Wow. That's cool.
And we've started a podcast. We moved. We've traveled
again. We've traveled. We've been traveled again.
And now we're making a movie.
Making a movie. Yeah.
And you're playing basketball.
Yeah. So fun. So, did I ever like basketball as a kid?
You like to play horse.
Oh.
Yeah, she's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I was a little nervous when we first started dating. She couldn't throw or catch or shit.
Oh, my gosh.
But so she's actually.
You must know, Brooke did never like a sport with a ball involved.
True.
No matter what she tried soccer and softball.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else, but every sport like that was, you might as well just rename it dodgeball.
Yeah. I can relate to that. I'll be like, here, catch. And she instantly freezes up.
she used to always, they'd throw it to her or kick it to her, and she would move out of the way, get away from that ball. She never wanted to be responsible for that ball. But she was pretty good at making hoops, you know, just playing horse. So,
yeah, I'll have to send you a video. I mean, I'm quite impressed for an almost 40-year-old lady.
Mm-hmm. You can learn anything. I mean, mom started a new career at 50, you know, 40. We're spring chickens here. We might as well take on basketball,
it's
right?
Not too late. It's not too late.
Yeah. So,
ladies.
Thanks. That's the best advice.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on, chatting with us. We super appreciate it. And to our listeners, we'll be back next week with a brand new episode that we haven't even figured out yet.
We got some irons in the fire.
Yeah, that's true.
But don't forget to follow us on Instagram. No One Wants My Cookies. Like, share, comment.
Yeah.
Connie, thank you so much. We love you.
Love you both.
Bye.